Hollywood, California, we bring you a new Dr. Christian prize play called The Case of Tommy Holmes, starring Gene Herschel and presented for your pleasure by the Cheeseboro Manufacturing Company, owners of the trademark Vaseline and producers of Vaseline Petroleum Jelly, Vaseline Hair Tonic, and other Vaseline specialties. You know, I think every home today should have its own conservation warden. Why not appoint yourself to the job? Charge yourself with the task of doing everything possible to conserve your household appliances and other things made of metal that can't be replaced. As the home conservation warden, you'll find that Vaseline Jelly can be of a great help to you. This medical preparation you've used so often for minor burns and other everyday emergencies is now doing double duty. It stands ready to protect many things in your home. Because Vaseline Jelly is air-resistant and water-resistant, it can help prevent rust from forming on metal. Think how important this is right now when you're storing so many things away for the season. Before putting up your lawnmower and other garden implements, be sure to give them a protective coating of Vaseline Jelly. Put a thin application of Vaseline Jelly on the metal parts of your household appliances, especially the electric fan before it's laid away. And the same goes for your golf clubs and other sporting equipment. To keep your window and door screens free from rust, coat them lightly with Vaseline Jelly before stacking them up for the winter. Metal parts of farm implements, too, should get a protective coating after the last harvest. If you conserve now when storing things away, you'll be glad you did when spring comes around. Remember, Vaseline Jelly costs very little, only 10 cents a generous jar. Yet it can prolong the life of many things you can't replace. Our prize play for tonight, The Case of Tommy Holmes, was written by Gene Shumate of Des Moines, Iowa. Many of you who live in the Middle West are familiar with the voice of Gene Shumate, which is heard frequently broadcasting football, baseball, and other important events. I'm 27 years old, married, have a beautiful daughter of 3.5 years who looks like her mother, he writes. I went to the University of Missouri to study journalism, but I got mixed up in radio by working at the local station. When Gene Shumate received the news that he had won a Dr. Christian Award, he had just returned from broadcasting the first University of Iowa football game. On the way home from Iowa City, I stopped off at Grinnell, Iowa, to help out on a bond auction with a KSOKRNT Victory Bond Parade. Mr. Herschel will know about our efforts along this line because he donated 2 autographed pipe racks to auction off. Well, from a man of action like Gene Shumate, you expect an action story. And that's what you're going to get in The Case of Tommy Holmes. Included in the cast tonight, beside our star Gene Herschel as Dr. Christian and Lurien Tuttle as Judy Price, are Tyler McVeigh, who plays Eric Norvell, the reporter, Frederick Shields, who plays Mr. Fox, an attorney, Dix Davis as the boy, Tommy Holmes, Griff Barnett as Officer Tom Blake, and James Eagles as the hospital orderly. And so the curtain rises. It's early evening in River's End, and the streetlights have just been lighted. Policeman Tom Blake has just stopped his patrol car at the corner of Linden and 2nd Street, where the highway comes into town. Tom suddenly stops to watch an approaching car. The driver is coming too fast and slides as he turns the corner. He apparently regains control, then suddenly straightens and heads directly at a telephone pole.
Hey, there's been a wreck. Car smashed.
Clear the way here. There's a man hurt. Call the ambulance, mister.
You bet.
And get Dr. Christian over to the hospital quick. This guy's out cold.
Right in here, doctor.
All right, Blake. Come on, Judy.
Hello, Officer Blake.
Good evening, Miss Judy. He's been out like a light ever since we brought him in, Dr. Christian.
Hello, Dr. Christian. Do something for him, will you?
I'll try.
He's still unconscious.
Apparently not hurt badly. Just stunned.
Thank goodness for that.
Well, what are you doing here, Eric? I thought the star reporter of River's End Enterprise...
He's coming around.
What happened?
It's all right. You were in an accident. Nothing serious.
Who are you?
Paul Christian, doctor. Lie still and you'll feel better.
Where am I?
River's End Hospital. They brought you here.
They?
Yeah, there was a policeman close by when the accident occurred. He called an ambulance for you.
Hello, Mr. Fox. Don't you know me? Eric Norvell, reporter.
Are you talking to me?
Of course, I was with you this afternoon.
What did you call me?
Fox.
Is that my name?
Well, sure, Gerald R. Fox. What's the matter?
I don't know. I can't think. My mind's a blank.
Perhaps you'd better not talk, Mr. Fox. Rest is what you need most now.
Do I know you, Doctor?
I don't believe so. Should you know me?
Well, I can't remember. I can't remember anything. Who am I? Why am I here?
Dr. Christian, what's the matter with him?
Amnesia, I'm afraid.
Amnesia? You mean loss of memory?
Yes, Eric.
But that can't be. I've got the biggest story of the year, and he's sitting on it. You're Gerald R. Fox, lawyer for Mark Forsythe of Chicago. Remember that? You're controlling $1 million. Remember that? You've
Eric.
Got to... But he's got to remember, Dr. Christian. It's important.
Oh, you can get your story later, Eric.
Oh, hang the story. I don't care about that. It's the boy I'm thinking of. Try hard, Fox. Try hard to remember why you're in River's End. You've got to try.
It's too late to help anyone now.
You'll be all right. A few days rest and then we'll work it out.
A few days will be too late.
I'll leave instructions with the nurse, Judy. I'll stop in later this evening to look at him.
Yes, Doctor.
Dr. Christian, you're not leaving.
And you're leaving with me, Eric. I want to talk to you.
He might run away or something.
Oh, I don't think so. Come along, Eric.
But...
Please.
Where are we going?
To my office.
Will you want me, Dr. Christian?
Yes, Judy, I might. Unless there's something else you have to do. I don't want to spoil your evening.
Evenings were made to be spoiled.
Thank you, Judy. Well, come along then, both of you. We'll take my car. Now, Eric, you can tell us why you were so upset at the hospital.
It's no good talking. We have to do something. It's a matter of hours.
Well, if you'll tell me what the trouble is, perhaps I can help you.
You know Tommy Holmes, the little orphan out at the home?
Yes, of course, Tommy. I have great friends.
He's a great kid.
Yes, he is.
You know what he told me today? He said if he had $1 million, he'd build a new home for the kids. With a swimming pool.
Well, that sounds like Tommy.
That was the first thing he said. Nothing for himself. No ponies, no new clothes or ice cream. Can you imagine that? A 10-year-old kid thinking of his friends first.
That would be wonderful of anyone, Eric. Whether he was 10 or 50.
Well, that's what I'm getting at, Dr. Christian. He's one in a million.
Tommy Holmes, a new home, the man in the hospital. Well, pardon me, Eric, but it doesn't make sense.
Well, maybe this will make sense, Dr. Christian. That man in the hospital has $1 million for Tommy.
For Tommy? How?
Well, perhaps you'd better tell us the whole story.
Okay, here it is. I got it from a friend of mine who's a lawyer in Chicago. He works in the probate court and has access to a lot of records. Now, this guy Fox was a lawyer for Mark Forsythe, the financier. Forsythe died a year ago tonight. His will, drawn up by Fox, left $1 million to his grandson, location unknown. The kid's mother was Forsythe's daughter. He disowned her when she married, and well, she died a year or so before Forsythe. He tried then to find the boy and give him a home, but the kid had dropped out of sight.
Tommy came to the River's End orphanage about 2 years ago.
Check. And he's the grandson of Mark Forsythe.
You're positive, Eric?
Double positive. I took Tommy's picture and rushed into Chicago to see Fox. He said he thought it was Tommy Holmes, but that he'd have to make an actual identification.
That is why he's in River's End.
Right. And you have to do something, Dr. Christian.
I don't see what there is for me to do, Eric. Mr. Fox, as you call the patient, he's a victim of amnesia. He may regain his memory soon. In the meantime...
But how soon?
Oh, there's no way of knowing. Perhaps a day or a week, or maybe a year.
Even a day is too long.
Tommy has lived without $1 million for 10 years. Another day won't hurt.
Another day and the million will go back into the Forsythe Brown business.
What's that?
It's a provision made in the will. Everything that was possible was to be done to find Tommy Holmes. If the search was not a success, if the boy wasn't found within a year of Forsythe's death, the money was to revert to his partner in his business.
Oh, I see.
And today is the deadline?
Midnight tonight. Less than 5 hours.
Well, what a strange thing to do.
Well, the old guy was strange right down the line. He specialized in money. You probably figured the boy would be found in a year, and if not, there was $1 million that ought to be put to work, earning another million.
Eric is right, Dr. Christian. You must do something to help Tommy.
I wouldn't care ordinarily, although it would be a good story any time. But Tommy deserves a break.
Yes. Tommy deserves the break.
Dr. Christian, where are you going?
Oh, I thought I might take a drive. The evening is very nice.
But, Doctor,
I may stop at the home and see Tommy. Eric, you and Judy meet me at the hospital in a half an hour.
All right.
A half an hour might be too late.
You heard what he said, Eric. Unless I'm mistaken, in half an hour, Dr. Christian will have a solution.
Oh, don't be too sure, Judy. But I'll try. Have you ever been to the hospital, Tommy?
No, sir. I heard about it. One of the kids was there. You know, Lewis Martin. He's the one. He said you punched buttons and women in white dresses brought you ice cream.
They most certainly do. Of course, it's a question whether or not the ice cream is worth a broken arm like Lewis's.
Well, I guess maybe it is if you like ice cream a lot.
You like ice cream a lot?
Oh, I'll see. Next to swimming, I like it best.
You never had a broken arm?
Oh, no, sir. Lewis said it didn't hurt much, though. Lewis said you put him to sleep when you fixed it.
That's right. Well, there we are, Tommy. Now you can see the buttons and the women in the white dress. Eric, Judy.
Yes?
There we are.
He tried to get away, Dr. Christian. He tried to walk out.
But they stopped him.
How did you know?
Well, I told the attendant to watch Mr. Fox. In his condition, he might decide to go and search for himself. It's a helpless feeling, Eric. Not knowing who you are, or where you're from, or where you're going. I believe you know these people, Tommy.
Yes, sir.
Hello, Tommy.
Hiya, Tommy.
Hello, Miss Price. Mr. Norvelt, was it all right for me to come with Dr. Christian? You said not to leave the home with anybody but you, but I thought he was okay.
You bet your life, Tommy. Dr. Christian's okay.
Oh, pardon me, Dr. Christian. There's a long-distance call from Chicago for you in the office.
Thank you, William. Judy, you take Tommy with you. Wait for me outside Mr. Fox's room.
Yes, Doctor.
Right here, Doctor.
Yes, thank you. Hello, Dr. Christian speaking. Yes, go ahead. I see. You're sure of that? Yes. Yes, it's very interesting. Thank you very much.
The chief said you wanted me, Dr. Christian.
Yes, Officer Blake, I do. Come along, will you? You're going to see Mr. Fox.
The guy that smashed his car.
Yeah, that's right. Is this the room, Judy?
Yes, 204.
Well, come along then, all of you.
Get out of here. Let me alone. There's nothing wrong with me. I don't need a doctor.
Oh, you'll feel better if you don't excite yourself, Mr. Fox.
Well, what do you want? Why can't a man suffer alone without a bunch of professional experimenters punching at him, tormenting him, seeing what makes him tick? You know you can't do anything for me.
I can in your case.
What do you mean?
Can you help him regain his memory, Dr. Christian?
We'll see.
I don't want your help. I don't need your help.
Mr. Fox, I want you to meet a young friend of mine. His name is Tommy Holmes. Does that mean anything to you?
No.
Tommy, do you know this man?
Oh, yes, sir.
Where did you know him?
He worked for my grandfather.
Who was your grandfather, Tommy?
Mr. Forsythe.
Mr. Fox, does the name Forsythe mean anything to you?
Never heard it.
All right. Tommy's a fine lad, Mr. Fox. You know what he told Eric? He told him that if he had $1 million, he would build a new home for his friends and a swimming pool. His friends are orphans. Tommy is an orphan. I'm afraid that to most of us, money means power and a chance to make more money. Tommy and his friends think money is something that'll give them a swimming pool. They're happy together, and what one of them has, all of them have. What one of them receives, the others shall also receive.
Well, what's this got to do with me?
You'll know presently. Judy, will you give me my case?
Yes, Doctor.
What are you going to do?
I'm going to give you back your memory. I hope that I can give Tommy and his friends a swimming pool.
Dr. Christian...
Just a moment, Eric, and you'll understand. Mr. Fox, you're suffering from amnesia or loss of memory. There are several causes for this. In your case, it apparently was caused by a blow on your head. You were in an automobile accident. The blow was struck so that it injured the blood vessels that supply blood to the portion of your brain that controls memory. Insufficient blood is reaching your brain to cause it to function properly so that you remember nothing before the accident. I hope that I'm explaining this clearly enough for you.
Go on.
Now, there's a way by which we can stimulate the flow of blood to your brain, thereby bringing about a return of memory. It will not last long, perhaps from 3 to 5 minutes. That is what we call the lucid interval. During that time, you will be normal, and we shall hope that you will remain normal.
Here's the needle, Doctor.
Thank you. This is a hypodermic needle, Mr. Fox. With it, I shall inject a solution of sodium amytal into your bloodstream, and the reaction will follow shortly.
Well, I don't want it.
Tommy wants a swimming pool for his friends, Mr. Fox. The solution, Judy.
Oh, take it away. I'm afraid of it.
There's no harm in it. It won't hurt.
I don't want it, I tell you.
Eric, will you hold Mr. Fox's arm?
You bet.
Oh, let me go.
Struggling won't help any of us, Mr. Fox. All right, Eric. This is it.
No. No!
Take it
away. No!
There you are. Properly injected. Judy, will you take his pulse, please?
How long, Dr. Christian?
Not long. Well, Tommy, you think you'd like to be a doctor?
Gee, no. Why'd you put him to sleep like he did Lewis?
Oh, that'd take too long. All right, Eric. I think you can release him now.
All right, Doctor.
He's quieted down.
His pulse is normal, Doctor.
Yes, it's time now.
What? What is it?
How do you feel?
Where am I?
You're all right. You've had an accident.
Oh, yes. My car. I lost control.
Can you tell us your name?
My name? Gerald Fox.
It worked.
What? Where am I? Who are you?
I am a doctor, and you are in the Riversend Hospital.
Riversend? Oh, yes.
Can you tell us what your business is here, Mr. Fox?
Well, I'm looking for a boy named Thomas Holmes. My client, the late Mark Forsythe, was his grandfather.
Mm-hmm. Now, Mr. Fox, it's very important that you answer the next question carefully. Come here, Tommy. Mr. Fox, do you recognize this boy?
No. No, I don't. This is not the Thomas Holmes I'm looking for.
You're a liar. You saw his picture. You said he was the one.
I'm sorry. I thought it was, but photographs are deceiving sometimes. This is not the boy.
It is the boy, I tell you. It has to be.
Please, leave me alone, all of you.
I guess I'm wrong, Dr. Christian. I'm sorry. Come on, Tommy.
Mr. Fox, you lie.
What's that?
You lie. This boy is the Tommy Holmes you're looking for, and you know it. But you want to rob him. You want the money for your own use. You want to give it to Mr. A.J. Brown of the company, and he will in return give you half. Isn't that the truth?
No.
It is the truth.
This man's insane.
No. No, it's you who are insane, Mr. Fox. Insane with the desire for wealth and power. Insane with greed for...
You know what you're saying, Dr. Christian?
Oh, yes, Eric, I know what I'm saying. I know that A.J. Brown, the late Mr. Forsythe's partner, is near bankruptcy. I found that out this evening by calling Chicago. He needs Tommy's money.
But Mr. Fox was a sick man.
Yes, explain that.
Mr. Fox was and is a liar. He did not have amnesia. He did not suffer from loss of memory. Did you, Mr. Fox?
Oh, I can't remember.
Officer Blake, you saw Mr. Fox's accident. Was there anything strange about it?
Well, I thought at the time that he could have missed that telephone pole if he'd been a good driver.
Yeah, he could have. He wanted to hit it. He wanted the next accident. It would save him $1 million.
I don't remember what happened.
Oh, you remember all right. You remember the injection. And why? Because the injection of what I call sodium amytal was really an injection of distilled water.
What?
It would have no effect on you whatsoever.
Then you?
Yes. Then you did not have amnesia, and you thought by so conveniently acting the part of a man who did have it, you could postpone the decision on Tommy until after it was too late.
You can't prove it.
I can, and I will. Officer Blake, Take him to the police station.
No, no, you don't, my lad. You don't get away from
me. Let me go.
You see, Mr. Fox, there's no escaping. You can't believe you have a chance in court. Or do you?
Why?
No.
And you're a smart man. Now, I would suggest you look at Tommy more carefully. Perhaps you were mistaken in your first decision. What do you say now?
He's the boy. I'll sign the papers. The money's his.
Boy, there's my story. Gangway, I want a telephone.
Oh, Judy, will you punch the button twice?
Yes, Dr. Christian. But why twice?
One's for a fountain pen for Mr. Fox. The other is for a woman in a white dress. She has some ice cream for Tommy.
And the curtain comes down on another Dr. Christian prize play. Our star, Gene Herschold, will be with you in a moment. Down with the curtains and up with the rugs. It's fall cleaning time again, so give the house a good going over. And when you've got it back in apple pie order, then look to your hands. If the extra hard work has made your hands sore and red, as well it might, then turn to Vaseline Jelly. Truly, here is one of the most soothing preparations you could possibly use. Smooth on Vaseline Jelly and notice how quickly, almost instantly, it helps. Now, there's good reason why it's so effective. Vaseline Jelly does three important things. First, it soothes irritated skin. Second, it forms a protective film that helps keep infection out when the skin is broken. And third, it promotes healing. Keep a jar of Vaseline Jelly on the kitchen shelf, ready to apply promptly for housework hands. And if you're working in a war plant, keep a jar in the locker and use it whenever the hands become blistered, cracked, or sore from hard, rough jobs. Get Vaseline Jelly tonight, only 10 cents. Look for the trademark Vaseline. It's your guarantee of absolute purity. And now, here is Gene Herschold, our star. And he has something special he wants to say to you.
Friends of the Dr. Christian program, in our stories about the people of River's End, you see from time to time the vital part our hospital plays in our community. Our hospital is supported in part by our community ward chest, which is just starting its annual drive. To the sum contributed by the generous people of River's End to the community ward chest, our hospital is able to serve the community whether or not the patient is able to pay. In your hometown, the community war chest drive is underway too, or will start shortly. Won't you support it this year more enthusiastically than ever? The need is so much greater because of dislocations in all walks of life caused by our tremendous war effort. Share what you have by contributing to your local community war chest. By sharing, we all forge more strongly national unity and national solidarity. Now for next week's prize-winning play. The contribution of America's leading authority on food poisons, Dr. William Bose of Boston, Massachusetts. It's called Black Magic, and I know you'll get a real thrill out of a most amazing story. So until next Wednesday evening at the same hour, good night.
Men, if you switch to Vaseline Hair Tonic, here's what you can honestly expect to happen. Your hair will have a live, natural look, and it'll stay neatly in place all day long. For well-groomed hair that stays well-groomed, comb in a few drops of Vaseline Hair Tonic every morning. Get Vaseline Hair Tonic tonight. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.